This morning, I conducted some very brief, like 40-second interviews with many of our fine team here at PC Gamer on their thoughts about the holidays.
All right, I'm here with Dan Fitzpatrick. He's the art director for PC Gamer magazine. So all the pretty things you see, all the pretty and nice pages, that's Dan's work. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you. What do the holidays mean to you?
You know, the holidays don't really mean much to me. Mm-hmm. I try to avoid them as much as possible.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of silly that, like, our whole life revolves around just the fact that it takes 365 days for the Earth to go around the sun. I mean, if we lived on Saturn, mm-hmm. we'd only celebrate Christmas every 27 years, and that would be awesome.
27 years? That's how long it takes to...
Yep.
Wow! Takes.
So, it's pretty arbitrary. You know, and it's kind of annoying. It just kind of gets in the way of, I like to live my life in a linear progression, not in a cyclical way. So, it just bugs me.
Wow. That means we would have only, like, celebrated one Christmas if we lived on Saturn.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that would have made... Can you imagine the stampedes at Walmart if you only got one shopping experience
true.
In 27 years,
That's
you know?
True.
How much worse it would have been?
Yeah, it would suck.
27 years. So, well, like Pluto, what is it? Like every 500
years?
It's like
250 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah,
not a lot of merrymaking
ridiculous.
On Pluto.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's cold all the time there, even if it's summer.
Yeah. I'm not into cold.
Yeah.
Any New Year's resolutions, or is that just not your thing?
You know, not really.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always trying to improve myself.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Or... Another way to put it is stop the backsliding into oblivion.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, but so I'm trying that all the time, not just at the new year.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's
great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
No problem.
All right.
Bye bye.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Holiday Podcast. This is episode number 159 for December 18th, 2008.
I'm gonna need jingle bell sound effects.
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
I'm your host, Logan Decker, and today I've got a lively cast of PC Gamer stars, including reviews editor Dan Stapleton.
Not lively. I resent that.
Associate editor Evan Lottie.
Hey, guys.
Intern to the stars, Josh Augustine.
Hooray!
The very, very best podcast producer ever, Andy Bauman.
Hey! I still hold Jeremy as best ever, so.
Whatever.
But thank you.
And don't be modest. And a special
Bitters
guest.
Never win.
Coconut Monkey himself, who will not be talking because he cannot hold a microphone because he has no hands.
Well, it's good to finally meet you, Coconut.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about you.
Yeah, he's not going to talk because he can't hold a microphone because he has no hands. This week, we're finishing the year by cleaning out the Q&A archives so that we can all leave the office for a holiday break with a clean conscience. So let's jump right on into it, gentlemen, shall we?
I don't know. Yes. I think it'll take more than answering a few questions to clean my conscience.
Well, I'm kind of for the best.
Some stains just don't wash off.
I'm hoping it'll be like a proxy cleaning, you know, that'll wash away all my other sins from the year.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know.
Hi, guys. It's Derek Cohen from Ontario, Canada. I'm calling because I wanted to ask when you guys are going to have Andy Mahood on the podcast. I would really love to hear him. I think Deathlock's been on twice. Anyway, I would really like to hear Andy Mahood on and, you know, hear what he thinks about the current state of gaming. It'd be great. And remember...
Read PC Gamer and don't be a gamer.
Goodbye.
I thought that was the like most cute thing I've ever heard in my life.
My heart
that
is
God. Awesome.
I want to like loop, put that on a loop and send it
I can
to
just,
everybody.
I can just see her repeating that to her therapist 30 years from now.
Yeah.
He made me say it over and over and over again. Where's Andy Mahood been? That's a great question. We should get him on the podcast.
He did record a fine message one time. I don't recall what episode it was, but like it was a long time ago. Yeah. He was talking about HOTAS. How do you say that? It was like the full gear for flight simulators and cars and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was cool hearing him. But
yeah, the brevity of it made it even more made people want even more of him. You know what I mean?
And dude, he's been a staple of Gamer forever, you know?
Yeah. We should, I'll give him a call. Coconut Monkey, when do you think he'll be able to do it? Oh, he can't talk because he has no mic.
Well, it's up to him, so whenever he decides.
Yeah, we may or may not be able to get him on live because he does have a day job, so that conflicts with, you know, our day job times when we do this. So
hey, I have a day job. Yeah. Somehow I figure time for you.
We'll see if we can't work something out with a good Mahood.
Yeah.
Because he always, always has something interesting to say. Before we go into the next question, I'm really dying to know from Mr. Lively himself, Dan Stapleton, what he's looking forward to for Christmas.
Ooh.
To getting.
Oh, well, I am finally breaking down and getting an iPhone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nice, dude. Hey, welcome to the family.
I've been holding out for 2 years, but it's just become impractical for me to not have one because I have no sense of direction whatsoever in my head, so I need one in my pocket.
Dude, you know what? It's funny, though. Like, so I look up the maps all the time when I'm driving to places, but like I never know which way to orient it. So it's like, turn here, and I'm like, oh, crap, do I turn right or left? Right or left? And I always go the wrong way. So it still doesn't help if you have no sense of direction.
You just see the front of his car, like, dents everywhere.
Yeah.
Embedded in the grill, you know?
I have some vague idea of where I am by looking at, like, street signs.
Yeah. I mean, no, you'd think so, but I just fail. I'm like, right or left? I'll go left. Oh, crap, it was right.
But yeah, that would be my Christmas miracle, as it were.
I gotta say, I'm still waiting for a great iPhone game. I'm just not seeing them. There's one that I dig called Cro-Mag, which is like a racing game, which is all right, and Word Warp, but that's about it. I'm not really feeling it.
There's one that my girlfriend plays a lot. It's a little puzzle game, kind of physics-y puzzle game where you're getting like little balls into to bounce off of things and go into different things. But I forget
what's the name of it.
I'll have to look up the name.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there is one called Ultimate Countdown, and Evan and I are going to play it right now.
Oh,
you see
goodness.
The you see the red button?
I do.
Okay, so yeah, hold, push on the button.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you. Get ready. Stop.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, so we both know both players lost because you have to take your finger off before it hits zero. One more time. Okay, push. Countdown begins. Ah.
Yes! Oh! That's neat.
Okay, well, that was fun. Anyway, so Ultimate, is it called Ultimate
Countdown?
What was that?
Countdown?
Yeah, was it Countdown? Ultimate Countdown. Yeah. That's your plug on the PC Gamer podcast. Let's move on to the next question. That was fun, wasn't it?
That'd be a really fun way of like meeting new people on the bus or something, you know?
Yeah, hey, do you want to do this thing?
Hey, and maybe like,
don't even touch me, don't even look at me, or I'll shoot you in the face.
Evan, how much time have you spent on buses in San Francisco?
that's true. Yeah.
It'd be good out here, maybe, in Salt Lake City. Everybody's pretty kind.
I've avoided them so far.
You'll be lucky if they don't pee on you.
Yes, sir. Print it on my iPhone. I would really appreciate that. I'm here with Richie, who's our production. He basically is in charge of getting the magazine printed that you get every month. Without Richie, no magazine. Without Richie, perhaps no Galaxy. I just want to introduce some of the fine people at Future who help us produce our magazine. To all our readers on the podcast this year, and ask you, geez, what do the holidays mean to you, Richie?
The holidays mean to me a week of uninterrupted gaming.
Sweet.
Where I can sit in front of my PC and just play and not be bothered with the alarm clock in the morning.
Awesome. Awesome. You just schlep up in the morning and just start going at it.
I have the PC turned on at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And the games begin.
Nice. Very excellent. Are you the New Year's resolution type? Or is that just...
No, I can't keep one past the second.
Yeah, so that gets depressing.
Yeah,
you have a lot of kids, right?
I have two daughters that hate games. And so I don't get interrupted very often.
Nice.
Which is okay. Good.
All right.
So they aren't... You're past the mouse, Dad.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That's awesome. That's really convenient. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for everything you do to get our magazine to our readers every month.
You're welcome, and keep on reading, guys.
Yeah, right on.
Hello, PC Gamer. This is Alan Shaw from the UK. I just found out Mirror's Edge for the PC will be supporting NVIDIA PhysX-enabled graphics cards. Does this infer that Asia PhysX cards will not be supported? Also, would you agree that there has been very little point to having an Asia PhysX card? Thanks for the great podcast. I have even subscribed to your American PC Gamer magazine rather than the British magazine.
Oh, take that.
Oh, wow.
The gauntlet has been...
Globalization wins again.
Hey, I listened to the UK podcast. Is that blasphemy?
No. Totally. Those guys are all cool.
Yeah, and a lot of their articles do end up in your magazine too, which is cool. And
yes, reviews. We work very closely together now.
Yeah.
And they are a fine bunch. They talk, you know, a little funny, but that's fine. I mean, they're entitled to do that.
But as to the question in particular,
Well, yeah, for the question, it's actually funny because the AGEA cards are now redundant if you've got an NVIDIA card because the technology is built into all the cards since, I believe, the
8 series, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what's... Yeah, I believe it's the entire 8 series. Maybe it's 8800 above. Well, I know all the 200s have it built in, yeah. But I think that's a pretty safe to say the 8 series and above all have the technology built in now. So I don't think that
what he was worried about, I think is, you know, will he be able to play, Mirror's Edge on an ATI card? And yes, you will. The question or the problem is you won't get the physics acceleration, which means you'll still be playing the same exact game. It just won't look quite as nice. There won't be the same cool physics effects with glass breaking and cloth rippling in the wind and things like that. It's the exact same way on the Xbox and PlayStation. So it's the same game. It's just doesn't look quite as pretty.
Yeah, and we're a long way away from the point where there's going to be any games that, you know, require physics, that integrate physics into gameplay in anything other than kind of a cosmetic way. You know, because they know that the install base just isn't there yet. So you're fine for a while.
Or at least, you know, heavy physics stuff like that. I mean, Half-Life 2, for example, had physics puzzles that were integrated into the game, but they weren't dealing with a massive number of objects falling.
And they didn't require, you know, you to have the physics engine was built into the game engine itself. So they don't require any specific hardware. And it will be a very long time before anything does, I suspect. If it ever happens.
It'll happen eventually.
But that was a fine card, though. That's I'm glad that they integrated it into the...
The Gia card, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
They just didn't... They should have funded games. Lots of them.
They tried. They tried. I mean, there was...
I think there was...
What was it called? There was the one... That one...
Cell Factor?
Cell Factor, right.
That wasn't trying. Well, Did you play it?
I didn't play the final version because I heard it sucked really bad. No. But I played with the demo they had initially to show off the physics card. And that was just a blast to play with because it was, you know, just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, the effects were nice. Yeah, but game itself, I mean, I never slept better.
Right. But I mean, there was a bunch of stuff lying around everywhere that you could use like crazy force powers on and that was a blast. I played with that demo a lot.
Yeah, and the cloth effects, you're like holy.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Until games can get away with requiring an 800 series card or 8000 series card.
Long time before we see that.
Yeah, and right now the requirements are hovering around the NVIDIA 6 series and I guess ATI X like 800 is the rough equivalent to that. So it'll be a few more years before we see games that come out requiring 8 series cards and then can start requiring or using physics acceleration without, you know, breaking the game for people that don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Andy Bellman?
Yeah.
What do you usually do for New Year's Eve?
You know what? I usually just drink a lot.
Do you drink alone, like in the corner of your room? when it's in the darkness.
But this year I won't have to
with other people
because I have my cat.
You're gonna get your cat drunk? Don't do that.
Oh no! She's the DD man.
I just see the cat with two party hats, you know, one on each ear.
Totally.
All right, let's take another question. That was unexpectedly poignant.
Hello, this is Tom from Rochester, New York. I love the podcast, and I'd just like to say one thing. Dawn of War 2 coming out by Relic there. They said that it's going to be different because it's going to have the battle centered around a small group of soldiers, and you're not going to be able to build bases and all that fun stuff. But that sounds an awful lot like a game that came out a long time ago, Myth and Myth 2 and Myth 3. I was wondering if there were any other of that type or genre out there, the real-time tactical type. I love the podcast, and have a good day.
Having played with Dawn of War a bit, I think that the closest analogy game that I've played, or you know, the game that matches up most with that style of gameplay is Freedom Force, which you know it's a very different game, obviously. And Dawn of War does not encourage you to pause and give orders as much as Freedom Force does, although you can do that. But it's squad based. You're just managing the squads that you have, trying to keep them alive, and you can revive them as well. But it's very similar to Freedom Force, and I highly recommend Freedom Force. It's awesome.
Yeah, one old one that I pretty much pimp every chance I get is Mech Commander from FASA. It's way back in 1998, but it's same kind of thing. You're managing like a persistent set of pilots and mechs and equipment and upgrading them, and they're getting better skills, better abilities and whatnot. And it's, same kind of situation. You're commanding maybe up to 12 mechs at a time. Really good.
I remember how great Myth 2 was.
Oh, man. I loved Myth so much.
I think I played it at like 12 frames a second and loved every minute of it.
The arms would fly up in super slow-mo.
Well, that's a game where a low frame rate was awesome because you could see all the explosions in slow motion.
Yeah, totally. That game really got me good at what's it called? Sort of like squad when they're the same unit, you know, like you keep them together and you know exactly where to put them, so you would always have your ranged attack like coming in, you know, at the right time, and you'd have your like melee coming at the right time because you couldn't build new units. So it actually helped my Command and Conquer skills like at the time, like Red Alert skills. Yeah. Because I would be able to manage my units better. And it was, I don't know. I haven't really had a game like that in a while.
Yeah, it's actually just called managing your units. There's no special name for that.
Yeah. It really helped, though. Because then I remember one time my friend and I were landing with Red Alert, and he was getting really mad at me. And so he was like, fine, we're going to play no base, like where you don't get an MCV at the beginning or whatever. And I totally like whooped his ass because I knew how to like structure my units and stuff.
Yeah. Tech level one.
Yep, tech level one, baby.
I'm really hoping that's what Bungie is working on. I mean, it's not really part of their core competency anymore, that they've spent years doing Halo, but now that they're independent from Microsoft, they have at least the opportunity to revisit Myth, assuming they still own the rights to it.
I don't think they do. Really? Pretty sure they don't, in fact. Myth 3 was made by somebody else, as I recall.
It was World in Conflict kind of the same, where you don't build bases?
Well, you don't build bases, but you do get new units because as your units get killed off, the points go back into your pool, and then you can call on reinforcements. So it's not quite the same. It's not. And this is like if every unit in the game, and they're like you're only using with four at a time, but if every unit in the game were a hero from StarCraft, basically, or Warcraft 3, rather.
Oh, so it's like a little bit even smaller, like groups. Yeah.
Well, the groups are made up of 1 to 4 soldiers, and the soldiers can get killed off individually. But there's a sergeant leading the squad that doesn't die. He just gets incapacitated, and then you can revive him. He goes back to a reinforcement point, gets his guys back. Yeah.
Cool.
And then he's back up to full strength.
Do you guys remember all the uninstall stuff with Myth 2?
No.
No. What was that?
What?
He would basically wipe your hard drive when you uninstall. There was a bug. I always remember this Penny Arcade. There's a Penny Arcade comic way back in like 99 or something. They go to uninstall it, and then their house explodes, and they're like running from the explosion.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I wish I could remember exactly what the issue was, but it was like it would delete the I'm pretty sure it would pretty much format your hard drive or delete the contents of it or of the directory it was in. Yeah, pretty ridiculous. And then they had to recall it. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think I only played that on the Mac, actually. Mm. That was back in my Mac gaming days. And if you Google Myth 2 uninstall, the first thing that comes up is the Penny Arcade comic.
Oh, great.
Brilliant. That's awesome.
Nice.
Where was all the angry internet men back then?
Exactly.
There was not much of an internet back then.
True.
Yeah. They're all relegated to BBSs.
They were cutting into themselves like the crazy dude on the Abyss. Remember that? Mm. He had his arm under the table and he was just taking his knife and he was like, That's what they were doing. Let's take a festive holiday question.
Hey, PC Gamer. You guys podcast and magazine are great, and I have a question for you. I was wondering, I want to purchase Far Cry 2 sometime once I get enough money, but I wonder, is it legal or ethical for that matter to, okay, say you buy the game, okay, and not wanting to have the DRM on it, you torrent the game, but you technically, you still pay the company. Is it okay if someone buys the game and then torrents it, you know, so you don't have to have the CD in the drive and you don't have to deal with DRM? Any help on this issue would be appreciated. Thanks.
I would say no, because when you torrent something, you're not only downloading it, you're also uploading it. And there's no way, at least not no easy way that I know of, to download in one direction using BitTorrent. If you're downloading, you are uploading those same parts, and that makes you a distributor.
I think there are ways to do it.
I think they're really like out there.
It's tricky to do. They make it hard for you on purpose.
Yeah,
but yeah,
and then that's like doubly unethical. You know, you're pirating and you're screwing over Bit.
Screwing over the other pirates. Yeah, but I mean,
I'm sympathetic. You know, but you know, if the question is that ethical? Absolutely, it is not.
Right. I mean, what you would be more in the clear doing would be just downloading a crack.
Yeah, and I honestly don't have. I don't know about you guys. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I as long as you're compensating the developer. You do whatever the hell you want with it.
Yeah, if I buy a game, you know, and you know, that's I feel like that's I'm entitled to do that, Eula or not, you know. You know, and at the worst, I feel like the worst I'm doing is maybe, you know, I'm going to a web page where somebody's earning a bit on the advertisements I see when I download the crack, and who may be up to scurrilous activities, but, you know, it's just such a minimal thing. It does not really bother me. But as for the BitTorrent thing, that's beyond the pale, I think.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this year was weird because you started seeing people like going to the Pirate Bay website and looking for the top searched games. Like, I've never seen that before. And so if you're adding if you're adding to that, that's bad.
That's true. Good point.
People
yeah.
think that their game is being pirated and they get all sad and they're not going to develop for the PC, you know. So
And then they put in even stronger DRM, which is immediately defeated, but you know.
Yeah. So it's
But that's cool. I mean, that's awesome that this guy, you know, calls in and asks, you know, because a lot of people, they do things without even going that far as to think about them and to think about not only, you know, what they are doing, but what the implications of what they're doing are, you know. So I think that actually was the most holiday, cheerful holiday question, I think. And you couldn't have picked a better one, Jeremy. Real. Oh, no. I know.
See,
I know.
He is the better, you know.
That was no. No, he's not. you planted that in my head.
Oh.
So I'm the victim.
I'm here today with Jillian, who's our receptionist here at Future, and I'm just kind of, you know, introducing our readers to some of the fine people who help us do our work over the year. And so I was just curious, are you into the whole New Year's resolution thing at all?
It sounds like a good idea a week before and a week after New Year's, and then beyond that, it's kind of like, I don't even remember what my New Year's resolution was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was to stop drinking, which is why you forgot, because you would start drinking again, yeah. Do you have any this year?
Any resolutions?
Yeah.
No. I'm finishing up school now, so my brain's been kind of focused on that. Yeah. So long as I pass, I think I'm golden.
Yeah, that's major. So that totally exempts you for 3 years from resolutions. Right. Just finishing school.
Right.
Okay. Why do you think it is that Santa is not mentioned in the Bible?
You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, my younger sister was talking so much about Santa. And then when I said, do you even know what Christmas is about? She goes, it's Santa's birthday, duh. And I'm serious. She's like 5 years old, which makes me like 11 or whatever. And that was her response. So
wow.
I think regardless, I think kids nowadays just insert Santa in their own way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's how cultures are born.
Right.
Yeah.
Soon, maybe one day in a new press, pressing of the Bible, maybe Santa will be in there.
Well, Jillian, thanks for just being awesome all year.
You're welcome. Thank
and
you.
And happy holidays from all our readers.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Marcus, aka Nightwing94, on Steam. My question today relates to Star Wars: The Old Republic and whether it will use microtransactions or a subscription. Recently, Kotaku reported in a rumor saying that it might be microtransaction-based, and John Riticello replied, "Wait until 2009 in our February conference call." So please, I'd love to find out whether this is true or just a fallacy. All right, thank you, goodbye, and keep up the great work.
Well, they haven't told us anything directly about it. They certainly haven't said that it is going to be microtransaction-based. And, I mean, everything, all the buzz I've been hearing is that, you know, that's, if there's any truth to it all, it's a gross oversimplification of it. What I would guess, and this is, you know, without any information on it, is that they're probably planning to do, like, small expansions that they'd sell for a few bucks. But I sincerely doubt they're gonna do the Asian model where you buy a sword or a lightsaber in this case for $5. I mean that has so not caught on in the U.S. that I don't think they're going to take a chance like that with a game like The Old Republic.
Absolutely. The story itself on Kotaku is, I have some personal issues with Kotaku, but it's extremely poorly reported. There's no source listed. It just says that Riccatello has strongly hinted that the game will be microtransaction-based. And there's no real quote or a reference to where that was made. And I was actually, I visited BioWare not too long ago, and I asked them directly about it. And they didn't outright deny it, but they kind of hinted that that's very much a rumor that's not going to be truthful. I guess you could say. It would make sense that microtransactions will play some role in the, payment structure of the game, but it's definitely not going to be the primary one. I think I can say that for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be subscription-based. I mean, you could argue that WoW is, microtransaction-based because now it has, you can spend $15 for a respec or any little things like that could be considered microtransactions. So will it have stuff like that? Probably. Will you be buying your gear piece by piece? No, doubt it.
I also I did hear a rumor that it would be populated entirely by Ewoks, but I'm not sure. I mean, we've received no confirmation on that. So
yeah, your two player choices will be Ewok or Gungan.
Yeah. Again. Please, everybody, it's a rumor. It's a rumor, but
zap,
that's
zap.
Is what I've heard.
Zap, zap.
I gave my
I want to play it now. All of a sudden,
I gave my girlfriend a Ewok for Christmas last year. It's like this stuffed one, probably like a foot tall. It's like the best gift she's ever gotten. She loves it. It's great. She took it with her to Costa Rica. So,
wow.
Oh,
yeah.
So it sounds like you've been replaced, Evan.
No, Wicket.
As long as you didn't get the baby Ewok, because those things are so cute. The baby.
No, they're not. Anyway.
Alrighty. Yeah, let's take another question.
Okay. The next three questions are all about...
I don't know about you guys.
What?
I'm having a terrific time.
This is great. Let's get some eggnog out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next three questions are all about the wonderful, wonderful L4D.
F, yeah, they are.
Hey guys, this is Danny from Indiana, and you do a great job on the show, and I love it, and I just have a quick question for you. I've been playing a lot of Left 4 Dead, as I'm sure you have, and I'm curious what the significance of that 53,595 number is for the achievement for killing that many zombies. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, good question. That's actually a reference to an achievement in the game Dead Rising, which was on Xbox, I think, in 2006 or 7 or something. And they had an achievement, like, you had to kill whatever number it was, 53,900-something-4. And basically Left 4 Dead kind of wrote that as a joke, like, oh, we have one more. So you can kill one more and then get our achievement. Just kind of a inside joke, I guess. That's all.
How come that game never came out on PC?
Because it's Capcom, and Capcom didn't at that time wasn't porting their games.
That's a shame. I remember everybody talking about it, how great it was. I always wanted to play it, but couldn't.
Yeah, me too. That's one of the few games that if I were to get an Xbox, I would probably pick that one up. But I like the ones that would incentivize me to get an Xbox, I should say. But not that into it.
They're making a sequel, so there's hope, I guess.
Yeah, and if things
hopefully
like
Street Fighter 4 does really well.
Yeah, if Bionic Commando and Street Fighter 4 do okay, maybe they'll keep up the trend.
Yeah, good point.
I'm going to totally get Street Fighter 4 on PC. Yeah.
Hey, PC Gamer, this is Corey Vaccarino from North Providence, Rhode Island. I was just driving through Boston, and I saw a Left 4 Dead poster, and I was like, yeah! Anyway, I just want to tell you guys, I'm coming off a Left 4 Dead marathon, went to like 5 in the morning. If you're wondering, since Half-Life 2 is like 98 cents, there is a mod coming out called Black Mesa Source. They're remaking Half-Life in the Orange Box engine, and it's going to be awesome. You can go to blackmesasource.com and look at screenshots. It's going to be coming out hopefully soon. Still in development, but it's looking amazing. I can't wait for that to come out. Take a look. Thanks. I love the podcast. Love listening to you guys. Hope to see this on the podcast next week. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, first of all, to clarify, it's Half-Life 1 that is 98 cents, not Half-Life 2. But it's Half-Life 1 that they're remaking in the Black Mesa mod. And it's not a strict remake. They're taking a few liberties with it. It has been in development for years. I think pretty much ever since Half-Life 2 came out. You know, like any good mod team, I think they've avoided giving a specific release date, other than maybe to say soon. But I'm not holding my breath for it. But when it comes out, I'm definitely going to give that a try.
They recently released that trailer.
Right.
That hit the internet. It looks really, 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 really good.
Yeah, for a mod, I mean, the scripting and the sort of framing of the sort of cinematic stuff looks pretty solid.
Looks like definitely. Somebody's angling for a job from Valve.
That's the way to do it, apparently, these days. Yeah. On a similar note, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, there's a YouTube series called Freeman's Mind. Where basically, this guy, have you seen Andy?
No, it sounds good, though.
It's really funny. Basically, I don't know how, I only watched the first episode or two. This guy sort of like, he plays like a very neurotic Gordon Freeman. He plays through the beginning of Half-Life 1. I don't know how far it goes. And it's just hilarious to hear him like make comments about different things. And while he's on the train, he's like super annoyed. And it just really contrasts like the geeky action hero you think Gordon is. It's pretty funny.
Has anyone ever had like a really tragic holiday? Like, you know, the kind of where the Christmas tree catches fire in your entire house and all the gifts burn down, maybe even one of your siblings.
What a terrible question.
I think
that's actually good. I'm glad Logan's that nobody's
trying to bring us down now.
I'm just wondering, you know, it's something that you shouldn't not talk about it, you know, because that will just make it worse, right?
What would you have done, Logan, if somebody's grandmother had died on Christmas? Then this whole podcast would have been ruined.
Oh, my God. I would accuse them of lying, and then I would call them Jeremy.
There was one time when I really wanted this one Lego playset. I think it was a castle, and then I got Mega Bloks instead of Legos.
Oh, everybody, hugs for Evan. Hugs for Evan.
That reminds me of a time when my mom wouldn't allow Mortal Kombat 2, so I got so I had to get Clay Fighter.
Oh, Clay Fighter!
Clay Fighter was awesome, though.
No, it was. I had a good time.
Like a bitch.
And she was like, "This is just as bad. Why did I get this for you?" And I was like, "I punked you, Mom."
Clay doesn't bleed.
I'm sorry I called your mom. You know.
Oh no, she's awesome. Why would you do that?
We're here with Samantha Berg and Mark Medeo. If you see a shiny object in the pages of PC Gamer magazine, chances are very good that one of these two fine photographers took that picture. So that would be Mark clapping his hands. That's fantastic. Yes, throw him a fish. So I want to ask you guys a couple questions now that you've met our...
I might as well make a complete ass of myself.
Now that you've met our readers, what do the holidays mean to you guys, Mark?
God, despair and loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Cookies.
Cookies, yeah.
Yep.
Glazed cookies or plain?
All different sorts.
All right. Fantastic.
That's what I need.
I'm all about the cookies. You wouldn't be in despair if you had cookies.
All right.
Like I have.
Mark, this one's for you.
Bring some in for
you.
Why isn't Santa mentioned in the Bible?
Why isn't Santa mentioned in the Bible? I haven't really read the Bible. I can't. That's a really good question.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
there may not be an answer. So
was he the one that was driving the ark?
That, you know what? Who was driving the ark? I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been him.
All right.
He had a fire extinguisher and put out the burning bush. I think.
Sam, what's one of the coolest things you've ever gotten for Christmas?
Let's jump to Mark on that one while I think about it.
I don't know, a puppy. That was pretty cool.
Puppy? Whoa!
You got a puppy?
Wow!
Yeah.
Where is it? It's already dead?
Yeah, the puppy was great. And then I got a kitten, too. That was pretty cool.
Did the kitten eat the puppy?
Yeah.
Why have I never met a puppy?
This is like over a span of, you know, a couple of decades.
Uh-huh.
So. Right. I get cookies for Christmas. That's my favorite. Well, and Hanukkah. I get to have both Christmas and Hanukkah in my world, so there's a lot of cookies involved.
Yeah, there is a lot of cookies.
Some people don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, and I want to be sensitive to their issues as well. I was just wondering, you know.
Their issues. Yeah, you know. Is that what we have now? Awesome.
All right, yeah. Is shopping for Christmas stuff? For you guys for the holidays?
I just don't do it.
You don't do it?
No.
Refuse next? Okay.
Yeah.
I do it on the computer only now.
Uh-huh.
I can't brave the droves of tourists in Union Square anymore.
Yeah. Is that
the president of future
US?
Yeah, hopefully we'll all be here after the holidays.
So. It could be the call that's
good thing you're not answering it.
We know you guys are in there and you're not working.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah, I just wanted to introduce you guys to our readers and thank you for a whole year of fantastic photography.
You're welcome. Aw,
yeah. Shucks. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Carl in Texas. I was just calling to ask you guys who you would put in a Left 4 Dead movie. Right now, I would think I would put Don Cheadle as the black guy, Ron Perlman as the biker, Summer Glale as the girl, and
nice.
Chris Christopherson as the old war veteran. I don't know. Who would you guys pick? I think that would be awesome. Anyway, love the podcast. Catch you guys later. Bye.
I gotta say, he knocked it out of the park.
That's what I was thinking when I first heard that. I was like, Jesus, he got all the good ones already.
Ryan Perlman is like perfectly grumpy and like surly. So good.
Oh yeah,
Christopherson. That was pretty inspired.
That one's the winner.
I think the only one I do instead of Don Cheadle is Most Deaf for Lewis.
That is a good one.
I think Don Cheadle has the eyes for it though.
Yeah.
Kind of, oh God. I don't know about Summer Glau for...
Yeah, I would... She's the one...
I don't
one
think she's Asian, yeah.
She would be the witch, actually.
Yeah, she would make an excellent witch, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know who I would put in Summer Glau's place, though.
Well, I would...
I know.
Rachel Weisz.
Rose Byrne.
Hmm. Huh? Who?
She...
Sorry. Do I have to IMDb this?
You know, did you see Sunshine, the movie Sunshine?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She was his girlfriend, you know. The one, she makes it to the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan's now ruined the entire movie for everybody. Good job.
Oh. Nobody waited till the end anyway.
Ooh, she was actually.
Everybody left the movie 2/3 of the way through.
Everybody left when he survived the vacuum of space in some tinfoil.
Yeah, yeah. I loved the movie. I loved
it. No, it's a great movie.
It twice, but yeah, the last third, it was just like, what the.
She was actually in 28 Weeks Later too.
Yeah, yeah. See, she was.
She's got experience.
That's my vote.
I hope Danny Boyle doesn't make the Left 4 Dead movie. He already had his shot.
Who? Who's that?
Oh, the guy who made 28 Days Later.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I give him another shot. He did. I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire yet, but
yeah,
I still like Sunshine. And
he's a filmmaker who I say he's a great filmmaker, but he's never made a great movie.
You didn't like 28 Days?
Oh, I liked it, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't go as far as not a great movie, but it's a very good movie.
Yeah, he's a very notable guy, but I just don't think he's ever made a very solid movie.
I got some good ideas for The Infected. I think we should resurrect John Candy as a zombie, and he could be the boomer. okay. Hunter, he's like wearing this hoodie. Like he looks super hip-hop. He could be Eminem. Right? It's got that pale skin.
Did you see that video that Eminem did with the witch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. He's not referencing Left 4 Dead, but yeah.
He's not?
No, he's talking about this homeless person that used to follow them around or something.
No way.
Dude.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know Detroit. Have you ever?
I do.
Yeah, dude.
5 Mile or 8 Mile. I don't know. One of those streets. Yeah. Who'd be the smoker? I think maybe like Axl Rose or something.
Steven Tyler. There you go.
Steve. Oh my God.
Wow.
Sort of an oral situation is compatible. Yeah.
I don't know. I see him as more of a maybe a Michael Richards if he can still get a job.
Okay.
Yeah. kind of tall. The guy from the Drew Carey show. He's more employable.
And who's comparable to a tank? I don't know.
That would have to be CGI, I think.
Who's that actor?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Who's that actor that played the old Hulk character? Something.
Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah. Eric Bana. Oh.
Yeah.
I would say to keep things within the Firefly verse, I would want Adam Baldwin as Francis.
Yeah, that's
it might be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's a pretty good Ron Perlman stand-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. But I'd like to see him wear the orange knit cap from Firefly.
Right.
Oh yeah. You know what would be badass is if someone actually made all four scenarios into like one movie, but then had different characters playing each one each time or something. Like that would be kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, you should write that. You know, they have this book called "Write a Novel in a Month" or "A Book in a Month" or something like that. And it's like this book that like will walk you through the process of writing a whole novel or screenplay in a month. You should buy that for yourself for Christmas. And by the end of January, I want to see that script from you, Mr. Bauman.
Okay.
That's your challenge.
Should I send it to Gary first?
Yeah. Challenge. No. Give it to us.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool.
We'll steal it. Yeah, I just swore. Sorry about that. I don't want to swear on the holiday podcast.
No, it's cool. I marked it so I can be.
Do you have a little notepad or something or something where you mark down where Logan uses bad words?
Yeah, I just press M for mark and a little orange beacon pops up.
Ooh.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, so 1 month. You have 1 month to write that screenplay. That's four scenarios. Shouldn't be that tough.
It's already written practically, yeah.
You just need to give them motivations and then sex. You know?
Zombie sex, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my favorite kind.
Hi, I'm here with Josh Augustine, one of PC Gamer's finest interns. Finest all-time interns, I might add. How are you doing today, Josh?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
That's fantastic. What do the holidays mean to you, Josh?
What do the holidays mean to
me?
Yeah,
yeah. What does it represent for you?
Well, it represents, I guess, time to spend with family
mm-hmm.
and friends, getting time off work, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a Christian, so obviously it has important religious meaning for me as well. Time mm-hmm. to reflect and mm-hmm. make changes.
Okay. What kind of changes are you going to make this year? And this is being recorded.
I know.
So, yeah.
I haven't given a lot of thought yet.
Okay. Is that something you think about over the holidays? What kind of changes you're going to make?
Yeah. The holidays have actually snuck up on me. I haven't done any shopping yet either.
Is this not the 18th?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the Amazon, I think they're what? We're hitting the cutoff, so I just want to bring that up. Is it cool to give gamers games for Christmas, or is it like giving somebody clothes for Christmas? Like, you're just never going to know, you know, what exactly they want. What do you think?
It's kind of hit and miss. There are some general big titles that basically anyone's going to be happy with, but then obviously since they're so popular, you run the risk of them already having it.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, even a bad game is better than socks. So.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. That is true. What's the coolest thing you ever got for Christmas?
Coolest thing I ever got? Oh, one Christmas is for me and my brother, so we had to share.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad set up a trampoline overnight in our backyard.
Whoa!
Like one of the giant ones. So
whoa!
That was awesome. Because, you know, Christmas was kind of lame or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're like, we didn't get a whole lot of stuff, which is cool. I mean, you know. But then it's like, but wait, go outside. And we're like, what? And we run outside and then. Jumped on there for at least 2 weeks straight.
That was a crazy move. That was excellent. Wow. Good thing nobody got hurt, though. Because a tragic Christmas is the kind you never forget. You know?
That is true.
And it kind of puts a pall over every holiday.
My brother has broken his arm on the trampoline,
ooh,
but not that one.
Ow.
So we're all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me here today.
My pleasure.
Well, you know, we've got a nice roomy break ahead of us. What are everybody going to be playing? Mr. Stapleton?
Well, Sins of a Solar Empire Entrenchment Beta is out, and I intend to spend a little time with that, building and destroying star bases.
Did that not win something really cool very recently?
IGN just gave Sins of a Solar Empire Game of the Year.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So did Game Central podcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a very, very, very bold choice, and like I think if we had limited ourselves to PC exclusive games, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But congrats, that's definitely it is definitely deserved.
Yeah,
deserved kudos. Mr. Lottie, what are you going to be playing?
Yeah, gosh, I'm not sure. I'm going to be visiting my girlfriend over the holidays, so I'm going to be playing that game or whatever, I guess. But I've since playing Diablo 3 a little while ago, I've really been wanting to start a new campaign with somebody and get a couple people together and play through the story. So I think it's
Diablo 2, you mean?
Yeah, Diablo 2. Yeah. I just think it's a really excellent co-op game and something easy to pick up and put down, so give that a shot, I guess.
Well, I, tragically, I've been super, super busy this month, and so I just have not been able to get into Left 4 Dead. I had opportunities, but I knew I would get sucked into it the minute I started playing. So I just tried to focus on getting through Far Cry 2. But the holidays is going to be all about killing for me. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's what I intend to use it for. Mr. Augustine, how about you?
Definitely Wrath of the Lich King. All my friends hit 80, so I'm going to try and power through and catch up with them. And A Vampire Story, got to finish that up because it's excellent so far.
Is it? Oh, man.
What level are you at in Lich King?
I have a Death Knight, and he's 66 right now.
Got a long way to go, then.
I know. It's horribly depressing.
Do you expect to hit 80 by the new year?
Probably not, because once I head home for Christmas, I'm not going to bring my computer down. So if I can hit 70 before I head down, I'll be happy.
So I don't know how good A Vampire Story is, but is it so good that you would sit through Twilight and watch it? Is it that good? Like if the game stopped and said, you have to watch this movie now, and then it was Twilight, and then it said, you have to answer these quiz questions before you can complete the game, would you do it?
Holy crap.
I'd call my girlfriend and have her answer the quiz questions.
That was good.
That's how they should do movie tie-in games, so you like have to watch the movie.
Nice. Yes.
Money in the bank, dude. I just made Ubisoft like $10 million.
Patent the idea before they get to it. Mr. Bellman, what will you be doing over the holidays?
I'm going to be playing Red Alert 3, which I just started, and the cinematics are pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah,
they're pretty hilarious.
I'm impressed.
Have you gotten to the line yet?
I just barely started, so I don't think so.
Well, it's in like the
will
second.
Will I know? Oh, okay.
It's close.
I was like wanting to play the Japanese first, or the Empire of the Rising Sun first, but they were like, you should play the Soviets first. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that.
And I think they actually have them third.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it makes sense because they are kind of the trickiest to control, so they want to kind of, you know, work you up to it.
Yeah, but so far it seems like it's solid. And I also, oh man, real quick, there's this game that that inspired me. Rock Paper Shotgun was running like this retrospective of 2008, and one of their articles was about this like 2005 game called Pathologic. And it's like some Russian, like really obscure game that like is supposed to be one of the most crazy like art games ever, but like really bad, but like really good at the same time. So I'm gonna play that, and I recommend if anybody wants to check it out, you can download it for like $15 off of Gamersgate, and it's like this Russian game that's supposed to be like about you play someone who's trying to figure out why this disease is destroying this little town. Oh man, it sounds like the worst game, but best game ever. And cool. It hurts my eyes because the refresh rate is weird. And it literally like burns my brain. I just figured that was a feature, though.
We're expecting an update come the new year.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to talk about it. It was like
this intriguing development.
Last week I wanted to talk about it, and so I was bummed we didn't do a podcast. But this week, or next time, I'll have like a really in-depth thoughts about it. And it sounds like one of those games that like it didn't review very well, but it'll be your favorite game of all time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like Vampire the Masquerade or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just to go back real quick to our discussion of Myth 2's installer bug. I looked it up. It said the CD contained an uninstaller that would remove Myth from a computer by deleting the directory that it had been installed to. If the user had overridden the default and installed Myth to the root of his hard drive, the uninstaller would delete the entire contents of the user's hard drive.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. I had your data, but I deleted it.
Damn.
I faked you a data, but I deleted it. Oh, that's really unfortunate. Wow. That's a if they were going for an all-time great.
The question is, who installs a game to the root of their hard drive?
That was Myth 2 was a while back, and sometimes, you know.
Dude, I hate that program files folder. Can't stand it.
I don't put games in there. I put it in.
Neither do I. I make a games folder.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It is kind of a pain in the ass though to change every single one. I don't know why. Do that by themselves, you know, make a games folder next to the program files.
Yeah. Yep.
It sure beat the crap out of the Games Explorer in Vista.
Oh
god.
So I'm here today with Deborah Guilfoyle, and she is the producer of PC Gamer magazine. So if you want to know why you get a magazine every month and not every 6 months, well, she's the reason. She's the one who keeps everything moving and on time. And the printer gets the pages when they need them. And that's why you get your magazine every month. How are you today, Deborah?
Just great. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you. So I'm just asking people, so what do the holidays mean to you? Anything in particular?
Holidays mean to me a lovely chunk of time off to kind of clean out the cobwebs, mm-hmm. freshen up, travel. Mm. See family.
Yeah.
Usual. Probably what it means for most people.
I think. Are you into the whole resolutions thing, New Year's resolutions type thing?
Probably should be, but not really.
Yeah, I don't do it either. It seems maudlin, Like, why this day as opposed to any other?
Why set yourself up for failure?
Yeah.
Do
something,
you're going to do it, right?
Yeah. Did you ever get anything like super excellent for Christmas before?
I'm sure I have. I think I got a bike a few years ago.
Oh, bikes are always winners. Yeah. Right.
When that was, I don't recall. A couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty decent one.
So how was it presented to you? Did they walk you out into the hallway or something like that? And you're like, ah.
Well, I think they just rolled it into the house.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been sitting there gathering dust.
Yeah. You know, I see commercials all the time. You always see them during the holidays when a spouse walks his or her spouse out to the driveway and there's a giant car with a ribbon on it. And I'm thinking...
Now, who does that?
Yeah, I mean,
No one I know.
Yeah, I've never gotten a car. I would love to walk out into the driveway and see... Okay, number one, where do they get that ribbon? Do car dealerships give it to them?
That's a really
it's huge. Poster. I mean, it's got to be at least 3-4 feet wide. Right. So that kind of, to me, that breaks the whole spell of the commercial. So yeah, I just wanted to introduce you to our readers and wish you a happy holidays. And we all wish you a happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. All right. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Well, this will be our final podcast of the year, as the entire company takes in a whole week off between Christmas and New Year's, and the building goes into a slipcover until we return in January. But don't.
Incidentally, that's why we didn't have a podcast last week, because we take a week off, they don't move our deadlines. So
we have
to get everything done like in a less amount of time. So
And we had planned to have one. We were just so crushed. So sorry about the late notice. There wasn't going to be one. Please don't take it as a betrayal. That will be gone for another week. You can think of it instead as an opportunity for you to clear your throats, slug down a few quarts of eggnog, and send your questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724. And record your question there. And remember to keep it brief, and for heaven's sake, it's the holidays, so no swearing, unlike me. You can also get the new year started off on the right foot by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. Scroll down, and on the left side of the screen, you'll see a wee little button, and click subscribe. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is a rock legend, Logan Decker, saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again in the new year, unless the Y2K09 bug brings the world's entire technological infrastructure crashing down to the scorched earth. Happy holidays!
Yeah, it's kind of a long process for me because I don't have a keyboard on my Skype machine. So I have to log in and then log back out.
Yeah, right. Keyboards are very affordable.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You could use the on-screen keyboard.
That's genius.
I've often been referred to as such.
Fortnightly, at least.
Like, there's an Antichrist, so is there an anti-Santa? If so, what does he do?
Isn't he the Grinch?
Is that it?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Wow. All right, then. I was just curious.
I'm here with Tony De La Vega, the Trivia Cat. So tell me, Tony, what do the holidays mean to you? Alrighty, then. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony De La Vega, Trivia Cat.
Is there such a thing as eggnog ice cream?
Almost certainly.
I'm really curious.
I've seen squid ink ice cream. I'm sure there's eggnog ice cream.
Oh my gosh. Is that just like a theme, or is it actually authentic?
That was something I saw on Iron Chef.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure somebody has made eggnog ice cream.
Don't be a gamer.